reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you yourselves know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Jesus talks to us about seeing the signs of the times and knowing how to interpret them. He said, when the buds of the fig tree burst open, we know that summer's near. He said, in the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. What things was he talking about? It was the things that would have been at yesterday's Mass if we weren't celebrating Thanksgiving in the United States of America. Jesus talked about two sets of things. The first, how Jerusalem would be destroyed until one stone wasn't going to be left upon another. Then the second half, he starts talking about earthquakes and insurrections and wars and famines and everything else. He says, when we start to see this, know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, when we saw the Roman armies at the gates of Jerusalem doing that two-year siege, we knew the first fulfillment of the Lord's words. The kingdom of God was near, that it was going to bring into a new stage of their dependence on the Lord as they recognized that his words were all true. But then in the second half, as he describes these things that happen all the time, earthquakes, famines, floods, they happen all the time. Jesus wanted us always to know that the kingdom of God is near. That the kingdom of God is not something just in the faraway future, but the kingdom of God is both now and not yet. So that we have that relationship with the King whose feast we celebrated on Sunday. Then at the end, he says, everything's going to pass away. Everything is a sense ephemeral. Except for one thing, even the sky that we see. That's what he means by heavens there. It doesn't mean that heaven, meaning the state where God dwells and seeks to dwell with us, will pass away. It won't. But the skies and the earth will pass away, but one thing remains. My words won't pass away. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, had told us about the two ways that we could build our life. One, on the rock of his word, or two, on the quicksand of anything else. He described it as the storms will be coming, these persecutions, these famines, these earthquakes, the four beasts that we see in the book of Daniel from the first reading with their iron-like teeth. Lions, leopards, the whole shebang. When all of that happens, if we've built our life on him who is the rock and on his words, then we will be like a wise man, he says, who has built his house on the rock. When all of this occurs, we have nothing to be afraid of because we've got that firm foundation. We may die, but that death will be nothing other than a transition to the Father's eternal mansion. He says the other are those who build their houses on sand, anything else that's fleeting. When all of that stuff begins to occur, then it just washes away because it has no firm foundation. That's what we're called to focus on, the incredible saving power of his words. In less than 24 hours, we are going to start using the New English translation of the Roman Missal. I've been really wicked excited for this because it's really, really important. Why? Not that every Catholic's going to like it. There are going to be a lot of Catholics who are going to be exactly like the children in the marketplace that Jesus described in St. Matthew's Gospel. We got out the flute and we started playing a fast tune, but you didn't dance. We got out the drums and we started doing a dirge, but you didn't weep. And he said, based on that, when John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking, but fasting and eating locusts, he said he was a madman. When I came eating and drinking and drawing close to sinners, he said that I was a sinner. What's all of this about? If we start to approach these things just by our own personal preferences, we're going to totally miss the point. Who cares if you like the new translation or don't like the new translation? It doesn't matter whether it accords with your taste. I hope all of you love it the way I love it. But whether you love it or not doesn't matter. I want you to do more than love it. God wants you to appreciate what we're doing with this. And the great thing about this new translation is it focuses on the words, not just fidelity to the original Latin translation, but the words of sacred scripture, the words of the fathers of the church, which are full throughout liturgy. But often in our mentality to make it straightforward in American business English, what I like to describe as the USA Today's vocabulary, where they think you're too stupid to use a vocabulary of more than 400 words. So they'll shorten it all down, short little simple words, because everybody's too much of an idiot to be able to handle a big word like consubstantial without learning how to look it up and then respond to that reality. It focuses on the importance of words. The words that are chosen are much more appropriate to the reality that we're celebrating, even though the reality is literally ineffable, a word that will appear in the new translation, which means incapable of being expressed adequately in words. Jesus' words will never pass away, and we're going to be able to hear those words much more clearly in this new translation. The words that come literally from sacred scripture that he himself spoke. There'll be a lot more there. But we need, as Catholics, to focus far more on the words of God and the word of God, to build our whole foundation there, because the monsters are still going to be there. And we see in the book of Daniel that rather than looking at the monsters, we look first to the ancient one. If you look up there, if we still had the light, you'd see the ancient one depicted at the top of the stained glass. It means God the Father. Then you have one coming as a son of man on the clouds of heaven. We know who that is. It's Jesus coming straight and going back to the Father. That's the one we should be always looking toward, especially when things are going poorly, but also when things are going well. Because the kingdom of God is always at hand. Today we celebrate the feast of the Virgin Martyr, St. Catherine of Alexandria. One of the things that made her most famous, especially throughout the Middle Ages, where churches were built all over the place to her intercession, is because according to the legend of her martyrdom, she disputed with 50 of the top philosophers of Maxentius there in Alexandria, the learning capital of the world at the time. A woman! Now, women are supposed to be stupid, right? I mean, that's what everybody thought historically. Women are supposed to be idiots. And therefore, to have a woman argue with a man, period, would be like having a little kindergartner take out The Rock or Hulk Hogan or Andre the Giant. It isn't supposed to happen. But then you have a woman take on 50 of the top philosophers and vanquish them all. And how'd she do it? Not because she was clever. She did it because she really studied and she knew the word of God, and she was able to respond with the word of God to their own human words. She was an incredible inspiration, not just for everyone studying philosophy, priests on their way to the priesthood, those at the nascent universities in the Middle Ages, but for everyone, as a real indication of what God's asking, that we, like Catherine, have been blessed with a brain by God that means we can learn. And that when we start to study the Word of God, we may not have to debate 50 professors up in Cambridge at Sanders Theater on the campus of Harvard. But it might be some ferocious family members who seem to have all the answers. But we'll be equipped with God's own eternal Word. That's what we're called to celebrate today and to renew. Can we really say that my life is built on the Word of God? That I know the Word of God well enough that it is the foundation of my life? If not, today is the day with St. Catherine of Alexandria to make a resolution that in the new liturgical year that starts tomorrow afternoon, we will make that our top priority, because there will be those storms and there will be that king, and the king's not mute, but he speaks still with the words of eternal life.